5. A soft, glittering mound of crystals. Augur said, "It looks like you might be in trouble, Lai Jun. Would you like help? Yes or no?" Jun thought for a fraction of a second and then pressed, "Yes." The sounds in the tunnel were louder. The slap, drag of the woman pulling herself up the conduit toward Jun. She thought, "No one knows I'm here." And then, "It could be months before anyone knows I'm dead." And then, "I could die here without ever figuring out what's going on." And that was the worst of all. On the screen on Jun's wrist, an image popped up. It took her a moment to understand what she was looking at. It was a green line drawing of her, jeans, hoodie, a Survival Expo t-shirt, crouched behind the refrigeration unit. The hardened plastic knife in the sheath at her ankle was highlighted. A moving line of dots led from it to one of the coiled pipes. Underneath the image, words scrolled across the screen. "Cut the pipe here. Work as quickly as possible. Protect your hands with your sleeves. Direct the pipe away from you. When the pipe is severed, point it toward your assailant." Jun wanted to laugh. This was nothing. It couldn't be anything. Fucking Enochites? Death threats online never turned into anything real. That was a rule. Death threats were easy these days. They were currency. She'd told the UK police about them, and they'd said she should be careful. But there had been nothing specific or credible. Any fucker with a laptop and a love of the lulls could issue a death threat. Jun had gone through them with Marius, and he thought at least 90% of the threats were, "Some stupid boy loves to frighten women when his penis sores from too much fap." But she hadn't been careful, had she? Her talk at the Season's Time Mall had been announced in their press release. Shit. Jun looked at the green line drawing on the screen and reviewed her options. 1, do nothing and die. 2, try to attack her with the knife and pretty much definitely die. 3, do what the app told her, and then probably also die. They'd be at close range. That was good. A gun had less advantage over a knife at close range. If she cut the pipe, she could still attack the woman with the knife. So try a combination of 2 and 3? She fumbled for the short, fat hose, about the width of 2 of her fingers. Underneath the insulated metal outer sheath, the tube was soft plastic and very cold. She dug the knife into the soft plastic. From the hole, snow began to trickle. Augur started to speak into Chun's ear pod, which was attached to the helix of her ear. It spoke in the familiar, calm tones of system announcements, affectless and mild. It said, "Season's Time Mall uses a new refrigerant made of paramagnetic salts and a liquid solvent. The refrigerant falling between your fingers now will freeze human muscle and skin on contact and extract moisture from your flesh. Don't let it touch any part of your body you want to keep." Jun held the top of the tube at an angle, and after covering her thumb and forefinger with the ribbed sleeve of her hoodie, she pinched it away from her body. Why hadn't she brought gloves? She had a surgical kit with medical-grade gloves on the dresser next to her bed in the hotel. She'd almost put it into her pack that morning, but thought the needles might get picked up by the scanners. Human bloody error gets you every time. She kept sawing at the soft plastic. She was 3/4 of the way through. She pinched the tube tightly, but a small amount of the stuff still trickled out. It wasn't really snow, but a soft mound of crystals. Large, like snowflakes, but harder, more brilliant, glittering. The stuff flowed like slushy water, but it wasn't wet. It was very, very dry. Augur spoke in her ear again. "Your t-shirt is made of a high-spec survival material. It will protect your respiratory system if you cover your face. Still, when you do it, don't look directly at her." Chun had forgotten for a moment to monitor where the woman in the floral dress was, but her screen showed a cross-section of the crawl space. The woman was an outline in green, stealthily making her way up the last few dozen feet toward Jun. Jun was sawing at the pipe. There on the screen was the refrigeration unit between them. The assassin would be almost within arm's reach if it weren't for the unit between them. Jun gripped the soft tube and sliced through the last thin piece of plastic. On the screen, The woman stood and took out her gun. Did she have a screen too? Would she have a countermeasure? Too late to worry about that. The woman in the floral dress took a step around the air conditioning unit. She looked down at Jun. Jun pulled her t-shirt over her mouth and nose and pointed the cut end of the soft tubing toward the woman's face. Jun turned away. She let go her pincer grip. The snow sprayed out.